Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Here's a jarring stat for you. This country wastes 40% of its food. 40%. The average American throws away 20 pounds of food a month with a value of up to $43. Cut that figure by just 15%, and we could feed 25 million Americans. This morning, a conversation about all this food we waste and how you can turn some of the items in your fridge into something edible tonight. Later on this hour, a conversation with a man widely hailed as one of our nation's finest writers of fiction, Richard Ford. But first up, all that food we're wasting. With us is Sasha Lutzi. She's a policy analyst and blogger for the National Resources Defense Council that compiled all these stats for us today. Sasha, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And Debbie Gold is with me here in the studio. She's executive chef at the American Restaurant. Debbie, welcome back. So good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And if our listeners have leftovers you're wondering what to do with, call us. We've got a pair of experts who can help you figure out what to do with all that stuff in your fridge. 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, updatedate@kcur.org. You can also share your refrigerator list with us on KCUR's Facebook page or via Twitter at @KCURUpToDate. Again, that number, 816-235-2888. Well, Sasha Lutzi of the NRDC, how did you all figure out that this country wastes 40% of its food? Because that's a lot of food.
Yeah, so I'm actually excited to hear some of Debbie's tips for what to do with all those leftovers. But let me just maybe paint a picture first for your listeners of what's happening. So, you know, imagine you leave the grocery store and you're carrying three big bags of groceries filled to the brim, and you're walking out to your car and you just drop one in the parking lot and you never bother to stop and pick it back up. It sounds pretty crazy, but that's pretty much what we're doing as a society right now. So as you said in your great intro, about 40% of the food that we are growing in the United States doesn't actually ever get eaten.
Yeah, I was going to say, Sasha, if I was carrying three bags filled to the brim with groceries out to my car, I'd probably drop one on the way, too. That's a lot to carry.
Yeah, so you asked how we sort of figured this out, and it wasn't easy because one of the problems is that there isn't great data out there, at least there wasn't in the United States. Some countries are actually a little bit ahead of us in tracking food waste and beginning to measure and beginning to set targets to reduce it. But in the U.S., we're sort of just getting started in figuring out. So it was really a process of cobbling together the information that we could find about food waste, which is actually happening all along the supply chain. It's happening on the farm. It's happening in transporting the food from the farm to warehouses. It's happening in the grocery stores where you see all those giant piles of fruits and vegetables. And it's very importantly happening in our homes at the consumer end.
So the 40% is kind of the 40% is kind of a comprehensive stat, it sounds like, from ground all the way to the grocery store to your house. Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's 40% sort of across the supply chain. But it is important that to note that while waste happens all along the supply chain, the majority of it is really happening at the retail end in the grocery stores and then on the consumer end in restaurants and in people's homes.
Well, Debbie Gold of the American Restaurant, I imagine there's a lot of wasted food in your business, and I'm wondering how you deal with it.
It's oversight. You just have to keep an eye on it. I actually have somebody who's part of their responsibility is, I mean, it's my responsibility and it's my sous chef's responsibility to know what's going on in our walk-in or our refrigerator. And I've got somebody else who is kind of the eyes in the back of our head. You have to know what's in there. You have to know, you know, what you're using, what's hidden back behind a shelf. And, you know, there's the inventory. It's called FIFO, first in, first out. You have to use the oldest product first. You just have to be vigilant and know what's going on.
And when you do end up with waste, what do you do with it?
Well, we do an employee meal.
To get it?
Yeah. Well, we do an employee meal. So usually it's like taking leftovers. It's like we feed our staff before service. And it's really hard. It's also finding ways of using the product. You know, nowadays in kitchens using the lesser cuts of meat is sort of in vogue. It's the thing to do. So if I get like lamb rack and I'm going to what we call French it, which means you take all the meat off the bones so the bones are pretty, you can take that whole slab and you can slow roast it in the oven. You know, because there's a lot of meat on there. And then, you know, you have to be creative. You don't want to just go, okay, we're making soup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how else can I use this part on a dish, or how can I make that in, you know, like lamb belly has become sort of a thing to do, which who would eat lamb belly before?
But
now
you
have
before.
To use it. It's really good, actually.
Yeah. Well, Sasha, I gather what you're saying is the biggest sort of culprit here on the waste food chain is the typical home, right? Am I hearing that right?
Yeah, it's home. It's on the consumer end. So it's homes, and it's what happens sort of in food restaurants and food service as well. I think it's actually, you know, Debbie just described all the things that they sort of do to at her restaurant to avoid food waste or to make use of the leftovers. I think it is really important to take a step back and ask ourselves why we even care about this in the first place. So, you know, all of this food waste is actually costing our economy $165 billion
wow.
a year. So for the average American family, that can be up to $2,000 a year. So, you know, I, like so many Americans now, I try to be pretty frugal. I watch my budget, and here is $2,000 a year that's potentially just getting thrown into the garbage. So we have, you know, kind of a personal stake for our personal purse in reducing food waste. But there's also a tremendous resource burden that comes with all this food waste. So people all around the world are investing time and land and water and energy and loads of other resources to grow and store and process and transport all this food. And nearly half of that food is then just getting thrown away. So some of the numbers are pretty astounding when we started to dig in. It's around 25% of all of the fresh water that we consume in the United States goes into producing food that never gets eaten.
Wow.
A tremendous amount of energy. Food is the number one product going into landfills, where it ultimately releases methane, which is a very powerful greenhouse gas. So for those of us that care about climate change, it's a big problem. So, you know, there are sort of many environmental and economic reasons to care about this, but we also have a major problem with food insecurity in this country. It's pretty stunning, but one in six Americans is actually food insecure, which means that at any given time they might not have access to the food that they need. And what we found was that just a 15% reduction in the amount of food that we're wasting could actually feed 25 million Americans. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons to care about this. This isn't about sort of making anyone feel bad or guilty. I mean, I'm sure there's something rotting in the back of my refrigerator right now. But it's just about sort of bringing attention to this issue. We find that when people become aware, they do get creative, like Debbie was describing, and they almost, you know, it's kind of fun to, you know.
Well, speaking of what's rotting in the back of your refrigerator, Sasha, let's talk with our listeners about things that might be in their fridge that they could sort of reimagine for a new dish. Again, Sasha and Debbie can help us reimagine these things. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. And Debbie, from afternoon announcer Linda Scher, KCUR's afternoon announcer, here's what's in her fridge right now. A third of a bag of coleslaw, no dressing, 3 ounces of processed cheddar cheese spread, a half package of firm tofu, 5 ounces of imitation crab meat, 5 stalks of celery, 4 carrots, and 6 red potatoes. What's that doing for you?
But you said coleslaw, no dressing?
No dressing,
it's like
yeah.
shredded cabbage and
That's
stuff?
That's what it sounds like.
Well,
yeah.
I guess what I would do is maybe you
Pray.
Can no, take the tofu, marinate it in a little bit of soy. Using leftovers, you are going to have to add a little more product, to it. You could marinate it in some soy and then sauté it off and maybe just do like a little sesame oil and rice wine vinegar on the slaw. and make, and you can add the crab to the slaw too and have some like warm tofu crab slaw salad, I guess.
Well, that's not too bad. That's not too bad at all. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. You know, the U.S. Department of Agriculture reports that the average American throws out 40% of fresh fish, 23% of eggs, and 20% of our milk. And I guess I'm wondering, Sasha, what else do we throw a lot away of? What else is high on the list of things that we tend to discard?
Well, it's a good question. Not surprisingly, it tends to be the fresh stuff. So it tends to be produce, fruits and vegetables, and fresh dairy and meats. And you know, I think some of this is just a matter of habit. We're just used to throwing it away. But I think some of it is a matter of the same trends that have sort of contributed to our obesity problem, I would say, are also contributing to these mountains of food waste. So, you know, portion sizes have really gotten completely out of control. So the average cookie is now 4 times as big as it was a couple of decades ago. The average plate size is upwards of 35% bigger than what it was, I think, in the 1960s. I'm interested to hear sort of Debbie's perspective on this. But we were looking at The Joy of Cooking, that sort of,
classic cookbook,
really
yeah.
well-known, the classic cookbook, yeah. And the serving sizes, so a dish that used to serve 7 people, that used to be indicated for 7 servings, now, sorry, I got that wrong. A dish that used to serve 10 people now only serves 7.
Wow.
So even the recommended portions are sort of getting bigger and bigger. And, I mean, these plates are just so big, we can't eat all this food. And so we've become really used to throwing it away, and especially the fresh stuff that doesn't keep as well.
And Debbie, at the American, have you noticed the same thing? Our portion size is bigger now than they were 10 years ago?
My goal, though, is to make sure you're satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people, the portion sizes are getting bigger because people are eating with their eyes. They're not eating with their, you know, with how hungry they are. It's kind of take some, and if you want more, get more, as opposed to, you know, I need the big plate so I'm completely full. And then, you know, the mentality is when I go out to a restaurant, I should have some for lunch tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm sort of more old-fashioned where I want to make sure you're full, but it's not about overeating. You know, they have the whole thing called the food hangover now. So.
Yeah, right. Let's go to some phone calls here. Lots of folks calling in with questions about the stuff in their fridge they might want to convert to something new and fresh and different. Corrine from Kansas City, Missouri. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a comment to add, too, about the food waste. 96 billion pounds is thrown out annually in the United States, and it's 52% of what is grown. And part of that has to do with the fact that the farmer has to plant more than, you know, in case there's crop failures or weather conditions, they have to plant more just so that they'll have enough for the people they're supplying. And also the grading out process, one farmer mentioned that 99% of what he grades out, the consumer wouldn't be able to tell why it was graded out. And part of it has to do with size, too. If corn isn't the right diameter, gets thrown out, has to be a certain plumpness. Zucchinis, if they're too long to fit in between those little metal black slats in the store, then they have to be thrown out. You know, food is all sizes and shapes, just like people are. And it's not all pretty. Not everyone looks like a movie star. In fact, you know, it's the same with fruit and veg as it is with people. They're all sizes and shapes and colors and everything. So I wanted, though, to add this. There is a gleaning society, Society of St. Andrew, just a not-for-profit, not related to any religion or anything. They go out and glean, that means pick what's left after the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the farmers will just call you out and say, come get it just because it's excess, or they've already picked it and they couldn't sell it at market.
Right.
So, and I'm part of that organization. It's a volunteer organization, so I just wanted to, you know, tell people that if they want to help save food, and it's absolutely true, there's enough food to feed everybody in the United States and in the world.
Right.
It's just logistics.
Well, Well, Corrine, thank you for the good call. And Sasha, this point that Corrine makes about we're grading out certain crops aren't passing muster and we tend to throw those away, is that a big problem?
Yeah, that's a really good point, actually. So,
yeah, it is.
She's right. Farmers have to deal. They're in a risky business. They have all sorts of volatility to worry about. They have the weather to worry about. So they're naturally going to try and mitigate some of that risk by planting more in case something happens, you know, so they have the crop on hand. But part of it is also, as she also mentioned, the aesthetic standards that the buyers are demanding. So they are only going to buy fruits and vegetables that are a certain size and a certain color and look a certain way.
Right.
And that's a bar that means that a tremendous amount of perfectly good, edible, fresh, healthy food never gets picked.
That's
because it doesn't end up being economic for the farmer often to even pick it. And she's also right that, you know, I think most often you would never even be able to tell the difference. So organizations like hers are doing something really cool. You know, they're
yeah.
coming out to the farms and they're going in and they're picking all this fresh food and hopefully getting it to people that, you know, can use it and who need it.
Debbie Gold from the American Restaurant, I'm wondering, I mean, do you insist on particular size produce or do you take all comers?
It depends on what it is. Usually it's more about the quality of the product and the freshness of it. And I tend to do a lot more of making it the shape and look of what I want it to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then that comes with, you know, the waste that I have and being creative with that, using it, not just throwing it away.
Okay, let's go back to some phone calls here. And Keith from Kansas City, Missouri. Keith, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I'm a plant breeder, and I develop different tomato varieties and things. But I've also worked on the produce market and in the produce field for quite a while. And what another point that didn't get mentioned by the person who called in is not just aesthetics and quality, but there's a middleman market to produce where the farmer goes, and it's a distributor to the outlets, to the restaurant stuff. There's a middleman that plays a role in the process.
Mm.
And what they do, I've worked for the middlemen, they will throw out entire pallets, almost a warehouse full of food that's perfectly fine. It meets the grade and everything, just so they can drive up the price. Because they said they don't want to flood the market. They don't want to flood the market. It'll bring down a price. So they artificially create these shortages to bring the price up higher, especially into peak demands. It happens with lettuce. It happens with tomatoes a lot.
All right.
But the way to get around that, if you're a consumer, is to buy from farmers markets because you're buying directly from the farmer.
Okay.
And there's some issues that I have currently with some of the systems that are being placed in Kansas City where they're developing. The produce markets are losing that middleman share, and the middlemen are trying to work their way back in.
Right. Keith, I'm glad you called. Thank you. Have you heard about that before, Debbie?
No.
This middleman?
Yeah. Well, I know there is one, but that's crazy. And I will add, though, that we have a really strong farmers market, and the farmers have just grown over the last 20 years. I mean, there's so many of them, and they do such great work.
Sasha Luzzi with the National Resources Defense Council. Have you heard about this problem with middlemen?
I actually haven't heard about the middleman problem, though. I feel like there are probably these types of inefficiencies all throughout the system. The farmers market is kind of a great solution, not just because you're buying directly from the farmer, but
right.
because there are all sorts of creative examples of businesses co-locating at the farmers market. And let's say you have a bunch of fruits at the end of the day that maybe aren't, you know, beautiful and haven't gotten bought.
Right.
You have all these examples of people opening, you know, a jam booth, or you know, there's this great like chutney company that buys this fruit off of the farmer and turns it into gourmet, you know, jams or apple butters or chutneys. So they kind of they add some value to that product, and then they can sell it directly to customers at the farmers market. So there's all sorts of, you know, creative things that people are figuring out to do with all this. We call it funny fruit.
Well, what I've also noticed at the farmers markets, the farmers are able to bring product that they don't have enough of to sell to a middleman, or even enough that a restaurant who would want a bigger supply of it, like, you know, fresh field peas in the summer. I don't have any farmer that actually will supply me with it. But if I go to the farmer's market, they'll have some there, and I can get it fresh from them. So, you know, they have other things that they may not be able to offer for a bigger demand.
Jill writes us this at UpToDate at KCUR.org. Are there any uses for sour milk, Debbie Gold?
Oh,
I hope not.
Probably maybe baking. I bet you could do something with baking, or sour milk biscuits or something. Sound good?
Ooh,
or
there you go.
Off the top of my head.
Okay. Back to some phone calls here. Ryan from Liberty. Ryan, you're on UpToDate. Good morning.
Hi. Yeah. I just wanted to talk. I'm an avid dumpster diver, and I won't name any names on where I go, but the amount of produce that's thrown out by Epic Trailer is insane. Perfectly good produce pallets, like they're saying, just of one apple in a bag goes back, they throw the whole bag of apples out, or one egg out of a dozen go bad, they throw the whole thing out. And managers and the companies scared to donate this food in fear for liability reasons. And I believe Bill Clinton and the Good Samaritan Act had written to protect some of these people who want to donate. But it's still just so inefficient and doesn't make sense monetarily for them to donate it that they just throw it away.
Ryan, I'm really glad you called. I've never spoken to a dumpster diver, someone who's a self-proclaimed dumpster diver before.
Yeah, I've been doing it for probably about 8 years now.
And you're still alive to talk about it.
Oh, goodness. I've never gotten sick on one single thing that I've gone to the dumpster for. The quality is the exact same thing that you would have gone in to by 5 hours earlier. The only difference is now that it's in a metal bin outside in the cold.
Oh, that's interesting. Ryan, I'm glad you called. Thanks for making the effort.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye. Let's go to Perry from Olathe. Perry, you're on UpToDate. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I've got two questions about composting commercially and residentially, and then a comment about the grocery stores.
Yeah.
First of all, I heard there's a company that does take restaurant waste for composting purposes. And then secondly, from the home front, we recycle and compost avidly. And my sister had a great idea. She said, take your vegetable clippings, like your celery, onions, carrots, whatever, freeze them, keep them in a Ziploc bag, and then make vegetable stock out of it instead of putting it down the disposal, which impacts our sewer systems. And then my comment about the grocery stores, I was in a local store one morning, and they were restocking, and he was just, it was policy for him to pull everything on the shelf and restock it with brand new. And I asked him, I said, what are you going to do with all this? And he said, well, our deli gets the first pick, and then they donate some of it, and then they throw some of it away. So, and I think as we as consumers need to get used to the idea that, you know, it's okay to have shelves that are empty. You don't have to have perfectly beautiful produce a mile long to help reduce some of that waste that the grocery stores are producing.
Yeah, Perry, thank you for the call. And I should point out that Sasha Luzzi on the National Resources Defense Council website has some tips for consumers on how they can reduce food waste. And one of them is interesting to me. It's buy funny fruit, which I guess means if you'll take the step to buy a funny-shaped vegetable, that'll ensure that that piece of vegetable doesn't go down and isn't wasted in the long run, right, Sasha?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the many sort of solutions that we recommend, and I'm glad you asked about solutions because it's important to make people feel like, you know, there's something they can do.
Yeah.
And buying funny fruit is just one way, you know, being a little bit more open-minded about, you know, what your fruits and vegetables should look like. But I would say that the number one tip is really simple. It's just to shop wisely. So what I always tell people is, you know, buy what you'll eat and eat what you buy. So, you know, you go to the grocery store and part of the problem is that, you know, they are trying to create this impression of abundance and they have these big piles of the fruits and vegetables there and they have things that you can buy in bulk and you think that you're getting a great deal, but if you're ultimately throwing that food in the garbage, then, you know, it's not a very good use of your money. So really, you know, it takes a little bit of planning, but, you know, shopping wisely can go a long way to reducing food waste. And then the things that you can't eat maybe right away, the freezer is a great tool. We should all be using our freezers. Most foods keep up really well in the freezer. So those are, I would say, sort of like the top two common sense tips. The thing that people don't know, and which I found most kind of shocking when we did this research, is that there's a lot of confusion, a tremendous amount of confusion about all of those use-by, best-by, sell-by dates. So,
you know, you're just taking the words out of my mouth here, Sasha. I was going to raise this point because your website points out that the sell-by and use-by dates are not federally regulated, and you guys point out that most foods can be safely consumed well after those dates.
Yeah, you have to smell
that's
it.
Correct.
Smell it. You know, milk, dairy is a big one. People look at that date and go, oh, past date. Well, did you smell it? Does it smell good?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So, you know, all those dates, you're absolutely right. They're actually, with the exception of baby food, they're not federally regulated. So there's no one out there actually administering this. What they really are just manufacturer's suggestions for peak quality. But Debbie is 100% right. We really need to get back to a place where we trust our own senses. You know, put your nose in your milk, and you're going to be as good of a judge as any as to whether that milk is good enough to eat. But we really need some reform on this whole system of these dates that get stamped, because it's causing a tremendous amount of confusion in the market, and it's costing consumers a lot of money. People throw away food that's perfectly good.
That's a wonderful point. Karen writes us to Debbie Gold's point about uses for sour milk, and Karen writes, I use it to make cheese, add a little lemon juice to it, heat it up, and you can make fresh cheese.
Ricotta, yeah.
Yeah. Lisa writes us this, set a weekly, another idea for what to do with food in your fridge. You don't know what to do with it. Set a weekly get-together, like a game night with one or two other people or families. Everyone brings their leftovers. That mixes it up so you don't get burned out eating your own leftovers three times until they're gone.
You know, usually what I do is I'll make rice one day of the week, and I'll make double the rice, and then somewhere down the road, we have stir fry. If I have chicken or beef or whatever, big old pan of stir fry, and we gobble it up. The girls, if there's even leftover of that, that goes for school lunch the next day.
Well, Lisa, invite me to your next neighborhood get together there. That sounds like fun. Bill from Lawrence. Bill, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, Bill. Go ahead.
Hey, I think everybody ought to have a flock of chickens, and everything that they're going to throw away in the dispose all of the garbage, they just feed it to the chicken. It's amazing what the chickens will go through, and you get nice fresh eggs, and the cocks get to get fried.
Yeah. Bill, thank you. Along that front, Brian in Grandview writes, two questions. Eggs are on sale at my local grocer. How can I preserve those if I buy extra? Any thoughts, Debbie? Can you?
Pickle them. You can pickle eggs.
What do you mean? Pickle them? Really?
Yeah. Pickled eggs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's good?
Yeah, they're good.
I would eat that? Okay.
I would.
Also, Brian writes, my giant pot roast dish may not get eaten up, but freezing the potatoes and carrots doesn't result in a very appetizing meal later. Any tips to keep those items more palate-friendly while freezing?
Oh, to freeze them? Well, they're going to be what they are, but I would take the potatoes and the carrots and then, you know, use that in another dish. You know, make sauteed chicken and serve the potatoes and carrots the next day and just freeze the meat and the sauce.
Okay. Well, this has been a great conversation about what to do with all those leftovers in your fridge. I want to thank Sasha Luzzi, a policy analyst with the National Resources Defense Council. Sasha, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Debbie Gold back again. She's executive chef at the American Restaurant. Thanks so much, Debbie.
Oh,
always
nice
good
to be
to see
here.
You.
Thank you.
Well, coming up, a conversation with a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, Richard Ford. He'll be in town this week. His latest book, is titled Canada. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR.